Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 84 this morning. Psalm 84. I had a wonderful trip. How many prayed for me while I was gone? I knew you did. And it was very evident, not only in the time I was on the platform, I shared a little bit this morning in Sunday school, the great Florida adventure. That's what I'm going to call it. It was a two-day whirlwind trip. I got on board here, got up at 4:30, got on board over here, walked into the Kinross Airport, and here's what happened. The guy behind the counter said, "Aren't you Pastor Rader?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Oh, we can get you a better seat." I'm going to do it. And he went behind a door, and he came back out and gave me a brand new ticket, and I said, "Boy, it feels good being a big shot, a big fish in a little pond." And from that point on, I landed at Detroit, I landed at Minneapolis, I landed at Atlanta, and I landed at Tampa Bay. Three big city airports, and from that point on, I went from being the big fish in the little pond to the little fish in the big pond. And I turned to a big important guy to a little old, helpless little old man wandering around lost in three big city airports. God got me there. Man, it was quite a trip. I witnessed everybody I could, everybody that sat beside me. I said, "God, you bring them in." And I witnessed. I met a couple people that were already born again. I met some that listened politely and then didn't have anything to say about it. And I did lead somebody to the Lord. I'll maybe say something about that a little bit later. I got out of the plane, found the thrifty rent-a-car, finally found that. It was three stories down or three stories up or whatever in the Tampa airport. Got in that rent-a-car, listened to that little voice, that woman's voice on that GPS. And if it were not for GPS, God bless GPS, I'd still be driving around Tampa, Florida somewhere. I got out right in rush hour traffic. It took me, I timed it, 65 minutes to go 14 miles. 65 minutes. I'm getting angrier as I go along. I'm watching every exit. I can see, you know, and I got to be in the right mode to preach, man. God, I prayed multiple times. God, help me to just settle. You're going to get me there. I'm okay. It's okay that lady doesn't know how to drive. That's right there. You're going to get me there. And Lord got me to the hotel, which was just a few minutes from the church. And I went in the hotel real quick, changed into a suit, slashed some water in my face, got on my knees and confessed my anger all over again and my road rage. And God, just thank you. I'm here. And I knew you were praying because I walked in at 6:25, 35 minutes before I was supposed to preach. And walk right into the middle of the day. They've already been going all day long. I don't know anybody there, I thought. I don't know anybody there. And a peace came over me. God bless you people for praying. Because if I'd have got up there in the flesh, it just would not have been pretty. Not at all. And I did know some people there. I met Brother Bill McSpadden from Rochester, Indiana. And I did a revival for him one time. And he was the first one I saw. And I met Dr. Tom Wallace, who I'd never met before, but he's one of my heroes of the faith. And you heard about him in Sunday school. And then there was another preacher there that I met. And then I got up to preach. And you know who was in the crowd? Bud and Ellen Ward. And you know who was in the crowd? Marilyn Mackey. And she brought some college kids with her as well. And so I kind of felt like I was a little bit, I knew some people there. And of course I knew John Gardner, the president of the mission as well. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you people for praying. I did thank God for you on multiple times. So I went all week and I got to last night. I got to yesterday morning and I still didn't have really any inclination on what I was going to preach this morning, but I settled on it. God settled it for me. The 84th Psalm. And I want to preach a little bit this morning, just a little bit on the local church and how important it is and how neglected it is. And if I can somehow help you and myself to refocus on the mission at hand and what we've got to do. I mean, at a personal level, this morning I saw Miles and Mason. I saw Miles, I don't know if it was Miles or Mason. Altaf. I can't ever tell them apart. I don't know which one it is, but they came around before the choir came up, and they took a digger right there, right up on their head, and went like that. And I laughed. Those two little boys are twin boys. They make me laugh every time I see them. If I'm having a bad day, I can look out at the playground over at the elementary school for Maplewood Baptist Academy, and if I watch long enough, Miles and Mason are going to get in fisticuffs over there. They're twin boys. They're about that high. You know who I'm talking about. I still can't tell them apart. As far as I think, they are identical twins, right? Okay, so I don't have to tell them apart yet. I'm just their pastor. Their parents do. Their teacher does, but I don't have to. And I'll see them fight, and they're laughing. I mean, they're landing blows, and they're laughing at one another. That's them. And I thought, that's how the church has got to be, man. We got to find a way to get along. Even once in a while when somebody just sucker punches you, and it comes out of nowhere, so what? Man, you're filled with the Spirit of God. And I see them, and they look like they're going right at it. And then they walk into the school arm in arm, you know, they're buddies. That's the way the family, the church of Jesus Christ needs to be. Go to Psalm 84, and let me get right to this. Psalm 84, I am more convinced than ever that the local church is God's plan, and there is no backup plan. There is no plan B. The New Testament local church is God's plan for this age in which we live. A concert isn't going to get it done. That's not a church. A seminar isn't going to get it done. Shopping, mall, religion is not going to get it done. That'll just get weaker and weaker and more diluted and more diluted. The church is ordained by God and will be strengthened and will be built up. And commitment is a big part of that. A church that is going to throb with reality. It thrives on the Bible. That is the New Testament local church. It is the, so I'm flying across the continental United States, at least to the Southland, and I'm flying over the Bible Belt, and I see houses and highways and lanes and cities, big, huge cities and little hollows with villages in it. And I'm thinking, how are we going to reach this country for Christ? There is only one way to do so. It is through the New Testament local church, Holy Spirit revival, the Bible being preached. God has no plan B. There isn't a business model. This was on my mind because I witnessed the two businessmen. There isn't a business model anywhere in America that is going to change this country. It is the New Testament local church. I love the 84th Psalm. Let's take a quick look at it. And by the way, the church has been attacked. It's been attacked by way of persecution, poverty, and pestilence. And the devil found out that only made the church stronger. So after that, he tried to replace the church with clubs, with sport, anything he can to replace the New Testament local church. And then he went beyond that, and we read in the book of Revelation, he joins the church. And he does all he can to dilute the message, to diminish the services, to weaken and lessen the Bible, and to take the bride of Christ and run her through a rink. And he realizes if he can get inside the bride of Christ and drive wedges and division, like in the church of Corinth, who all they were doing was playing church, find ways to separate. I don't like that, and I don't like that, and that person shouldn't be doing that. And just find ways. Instead of looking into the mirror of God's word, then the devil's got a foothold, and he does what he desires to do. Verse 1. Psalm 84. This was sung during the march and the feast of the harvest, the feast of Pentecost. How amiable are thy tabernacles. How beloved, how loved are thy tabernacles. Now I know this is not directly, this is David writing, and the temple isn't built yet. That is David writing about the tabernacle. He said, why is it tabernacles plural? And tabernacle means tent. And we know that the tabernacle was where Shekinah glory was. We understand all of that. David, who was a man after God's own heart, loved the work of God. He loved going to the tabernacle. He loved to worship. And the word tabernacle is in plural form there because there were auxiliary tents around the tabernacle. It held all of the offerings and all of the wherewithal, and not everybody could get, of course, to the tabernacle. So there were all kinds of auxiliary tents. And David was saying, oh, I love church. Oh, I love the temple. Oh, I love the tabernacle. There's nothing so beloved. It's the best place, I believe, that the New Testament local church, Fundamental Baptist Church on Sunday, it's the best place on earth to be. There isn't another institution anywhere in the world that compares to the New Testament local church. Man, I love Fundamental Baptist Church. Now, I preached down at Landmark Baptist Church in Tampa, Florida. Actually, it's Sefner, which is still Tampa, as far as I'm concerned. I didn't see any division there, right? But it's a good church. They're sister church. But it ain't no Fundamental Baptist Church. And this is the church for me. This is the church where I want to grow and raise a family and raise grandkids and extend the borders, occupy until Jesus comes, and get as many people into the family of God as possible until Jesus comes. We don't have a lot of time. I witnessed a lot of people there on the plane. And the leg between Tampa and Detroit, there was a seat empty. And I'm thinking, man, I said to the other person, I said, I hope it's a skinny person coming. And he laughed, and yeah, I hope so too. Because on the way down, it was like this. A weightlifter sat next to me. And anyway, and he took up more shoulders than I could take. And I was up against the window like that. Not a good thing. But anyway, so I'm praying for this skinny person. And a man gets on who's a man's man. And I introduced myself to him. I said, hey, might as well introduce myself right away. I'm Pastor Tim Rader, Fundamental Baptist, born again Baptist. He said, that's fine. He gave me his name. His name is Murray. So what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a PBR cowboy. I said, well, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I got a house in Tampa and I got a house in Kitchener, Ontario. But you're headed home? He said, no, that's the crazy thing about it. I'm going to Houston. And they got me going to Detroit. He said, what's that about? And I said, I know exactly what that's about. And I told him about Jesus. Amen. And there on the plane, he took my hand at 30,000 feet. I checked this out. Over Tallahassee, Florida. He took my hand and prayed and asked Jesus to be his personal Savior. And he was born into the family of God. We visited for a while and then we caught some shut eye. And then we visited for a while just before he got off the plane. He said, I want to thank you for talking to me. I said, listen, God brought you. I know why you were on this flight. God brought you. And I'll probably never see him again, but he got born again. And that's why I was on that flight as well. I understand divine appointments. Amen. Landmark Baptist Church is a great church, but this is the church as far as I'm concerned. David said, how beloved, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, ever even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. He was yearning for the sweet communion he could only find in the presence of God at the tabernacle. Man, I love church. Verse 3 says, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, and even thine altars, O Lord of hosts. You raise your kids here. You raise your grandkids here. You get them underneath the preaching of God's word. God blesses over and over again. David said, I yearn for it. I long for that sweet communion. And even the smallest creature of God finds a home at the tabernacles. Even the most smallest person of the creature of God in the human race here in this world can find a home in the New Testament local church among God's people. He said, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. I like that. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They live there. They stay there. They will be still praising thee, Selah. He said, David said, I could live here forever. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. I say the same thing. If every moment were Sunday morning, Sunday night, I love Fundamental Baptist Church. I love coming together and fellowshipping with God's people. I love worshiping God. I love sitting underneath the preaching, because I do too. Sitting underneath the preaching of God's word. I say things up here on the platform I never intend on saying. Things come out of my mouth where I'm just, this is a preacher, just being honest with you. I don't know where it came from. It's amazing. And it hit me right between the eyes. And I move off that point real quick because I don't want to get too convicted. But, you know, it's amazing to me. And the New Testament local church, that's where it's at. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I'm going to have to embarrass one person. April Mills is one of the best teachers we have. Oh, we have good teachers. She was one of the first ones hired. And she has just poured her life into Maplewood Baptist Academy, and God's met her needs. Amen. You know what God did for her yesterday, and she was praying for this? God gave her a car. Amen. And it's a nice car. It's not a new car, but it is a very nice car. Amen. The kind of nice car that kind of made me covetous, you know? that kind of car. And God bless her. You know why? A New Testament local church. You know what happens before anybody else gets here? I'm the only one here. A man from south of Sheboygan, Michigan comes up and shovels the front of the church. He comes all the way from down there. Figure that out. What makes that guy tick? That guy's nuts. New Testament local church. There's room for everybody. I preach to those people down there, and it took me, I was halfway through the first service before I realized, my first words on the platform after the song service, I looked out at everybody and said, "You people are crazy." And I meant that in a very good way. You talk about alive. Well, then I figured out halfway through the sermon, wait a minute, this isn't Landmark Baptist Church. I mean, this is 80 missionaries from good churches all over America, and they're soul winners. And they got happy while I was preaching. They're shouting while I'm preaching. Some of them are weeping while I was preaching. I gave the altar call. I didn't have to say, boom, they're coming. There they are. And it's real prayer going on at the altar. And no surprise to me that God uses those people. That's a New Testament local church. Man, that's what we're all about. Psalm 84, I don't have an outline. I've left it a long time ago, and I did have some notes here, but I'm just going to stay right here in the 84th Psalm. It says, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee." Selah, think on that. Meditate upon that. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it well. The rain also filleth the pools." In other words, in all of the valleys, and the sorrows and the thorns of life, they find the strength of God, because these are the people that love the tabernacle. And no matter where they go, they bring the presence of God with them. Even when they pass through the valley of Baca, even though they pass through the valley of sorrows, they bring with them the very presence of God. That's what happens when you have revival. That's what happens when you're filled with the Spirit of God. And wherever you go, and whatever room you enter, you ought to bring with your presence, because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, a temple that's filled with the Holy Spirit. So you bring light into that darkness. Everybody brings sunshine to a room. Some bring it when they enter the room. Some bring the sunshine when they leave the room. And we want to be those people that bring sunshine into the room. You can go to any corner of our communities, any corner of the counties, any corner of the Upper Peninsula or Northern Lower Peninsula, and you'll find darkness. And you'll find despair. And you'll find people willing to talk about other people all of the time. And this is what's wrong over here, and that's what's wrong over there. Somebody's got to carry the light. And that's what the Scripture proclaims. And therefore, the Church of Jesus Christ, made up of the people of Jesus Christ, who meet together on the Lord's Day, Sunday, we get our tanks full, we worship, we hear preaching, we get filled with the Spirit of God, and we go out into the highways and byways, out into the hedges, and we bring with us the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has ordained the church. There is no plan B. There is no backup. We have a lot to be responsible for. Look back at Psalm 84 again. Verse 7 says, "They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God." Continual help. God brings them from battle to battle, strength to strength. Verse 8 says, "O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer." David says, "Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed." The psalmist recognizes without God, there is no protection. Without God, no matter how many rocks you've got in your pocket, you're not going to make it. Without God, no matter how good your health is today, you're not going to make it. Without God, you understand, we that are born again are vastly outnumbered in the 8 million people on this planet. We're like a cavalry fort on the outpost of the frontier. That's the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I like to think of that in little boy terms, army terms, right? So we're out on the frontier, And we're that city that is set on a hill. And there's so much that we're accountable for. And we need to rescue the perishing. We need to get them into the lifeboats. And we need to help those that are completely misunderstanding and not hearing the gospel truth. Because I tell you, there are a lot of people outside the walls of this church, and you know them and I know them, and they get saved if someone would explain it to them. And they wrongly are believing something that is not true, a false gospel. And someone's got to just simply explain the gospel. Murray, when I explained the gospel, here he is. This hardened cowboy, and he was ready to receive Jesus as his Savior. I presume he had some wealth, having a house in Tampa and a house in Kitchener. I presume, able to travel around the world. I presume that he just came from Louisiana prior to that. But it wasn't enough. It was empty. I want to thank you. I'm sure glad I met you. Man, those are good words. Carry the light. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. I need you. For a day in thy courts, I like this, is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, you may read that and say, well, yeah, that's a great thing, great thought. I'd rather be someone that opens the door at the church house. Oh, it's even less than that. The doorkeepers were the lowest realm, the lowest rung of the Levites that took care of the tabernacle and then the temple after that. These were the order of the tribe of the Levites. They were the youngest. It was a dirty job. It was the one that everybody kind of looked right past all of the time. And he said, and the psalmist said, and he, David knew what that was all about. And he said, listen, I'd rather be that low rung Levite than to live in the pleasures of sin out in this world in which we live. Man, I'd rather serve you, God, doing the most menial task than to have the riches of this world. I'm thinking this morning of the song that George Beverly Shea wrote, I'd rather have Jesus than riches or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. Man, what a song. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Lord Jesus, I owe you everything. And I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. I'll be the one that picks up the papers. I'll be the one that cleans out the sewage tank. I'll be the one that works on the bus. I'd give me the lowest position. I would rather be there serving God than have all the riches of this world. And then he says in verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He gives life and direction and protection. The Lord will give grace and glory. If you know the book of Ephesians and chapter 4, that grace and that glory is found in the church. He said, the Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in thee. What a wonderful promise. David just says, I love church. I'll just put it in where we are today. David just says, the best way he knows how, I love church. Thank you, God. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the tabernacle. I'd rather be that low rung Levite that everybody looks right past and just working behind the scenes and nobody ever says, oh, hey, good job. I'd rather be that than have what the devil has to offer, because the devil, David already knew this, was a terrible taskmaster. And he'll wring you out. Since I am not following any kind of notes and I'm about out of time right now, it is important that this message comes to a conclusion where we have a challenge. We still have the same message we've always had. We have the same head of the church, purchased by Christ himself. Go to Acts in chapter 20. We'll close with this verse. Acts and chapter 20. And I think it's verse 28. And it is. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. I didn't preach as deep as teaching a message as I think I wanted to, but I'll let it go. The church is not a building. The church is not a denomination. The church is not just a movement. That's empty. The church is born again, baptized people. Born again first, baptized, united in the church, born again to get to heaven, baptized to identify with Christ and be part of the New Testament church. And we have one message, one great commission. We have one Bible taken from the Textus Receptus. That would be the King James Bible. All the other translations are just weaker translations. They're diluted translations taken from Alexandrian texts, some of those corrupt texts. But we have, so God has not confused us. We have one Holy Spirit. We have one Savior, one Holy Spirit. We have one God. We have one, there's one church. We have one message, one job, one ordained responsibility here in this world in which we live. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. That's the bride of Christ. That's the building, that's the body of Jesus. Metaphors used for the church in the New Testament, body, building, bride, all right? It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And I'm through with this. The church belongs to one. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. You're not the head of the church, and I am not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. You didn't pay for a single sinner, nor did I. But the blood of Jesus Christ, he purchased sinners. He redeemed sinners. We have one great high priest. It's not you, and it's not me. It's Jesus. He gave to us one book. You didn't write it, and I didn't write it. God wrote it, the Holy Spirit breathed it, and we have it. We have the Logos. What a wonderful, clear-cut message we have of the gospel. There's only one way to heaven. And you, there's 100 ways to heaven that kind of all kind of mingle in the same direction. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, broad is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But way, narrow and straight is the way that leadeth unto life eternal. Few there be that find it. Jesus, the bridge between sinful man and holy God. And if you're here today or this morning and you're not born again, you need Jesus as your Savior. If you don't know for sure that you're, when you die, you're going to heaven, you say, preacher, I heard what you said this morning. It all makes sense to me except one thing. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know for sure that I am born again. And John said these things. Jesus said it through John, have I written unto you that ye might know that ye have eternal life? And you'd say, pastor, I don't know, if I died right now, I'd go to God's heaven, and I want to be saved. I want to be born again. If you're here and you're hoping you're saved, you might not be saved. See, you're just trying to scare. No, I don't want you to go to hell. It's real simple. It's a heart cry to God. You've got to make sure you've done that. There must be a time and a place where you are born again, where you ask Jesus to come into your heart. So as if you're here and you're not sure, or you're listening or watching by way of live stream, listening to a radio broadcast and you're not sure, you need to bow your head right now. So let's pray one more time. And this is an appeal. This is for anyone who does not know they're saved. Dear God, just pray like this in your heart. I need salvation. I need you as my Savior. Please forgive me. Come into my life and come into my heart and save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm trusting you alone for heaven. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, you meant it. Anybody else? You say, I prayed today. I received Christ today. If you're watching by way of live stream and today you prayed and received Christ, tell somebody about it. You've got to tell somebody about it. You call us, we'll help you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.